If you would, take a copy of God's Word and open it up to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We are in the middle of a series called Church on the Move. I believe with all of my heart that we worship a God who is always on the move. Never is there a time where God's not on the move, or where God has checked out of human history, or God is on vacation, or God is sick, or too tired. No, the God that we worship is awesome. He is so powerful, so mighty, and He's always on the move. And God invites us as His people, the church. I know sometimes we think the church is the building. It's not. The church is the people of God. And so if you're here this morning, and I just want to kind of drill this more so into our hearts than into our heads, because we've heard it so often, I think it really needs to go 18 inches down into our hearts. That if you're a believer, if you've come to a place where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all right, you're trusting in Him for eternal life. Yes, man, you have a ticket into heaven. Praise the Lord. However, there's some more good news. You are the church. You're the body of Christ. You're His bride. And so the church is not something we go to. The church is something we are. We are the church. And if God's on the move, He calls us, He challenges us to be a church that's also on the move. And so we've been looking at how do we become this church that makes a difference, this church that makes an impact, all for the kingdom of God. And you know, I believe, you know, because I've had people ask me this question, how big should we be as a church? I don't care how big we are as a church. What I care about is that we're doing big things for God. That we're making bold moves for God, regardless if there's 100 here or 1,000 or 10,000. It's irrelevant, because we serve a mighty God. And we should be making bold moves for God. We should be a church that's on the move. And so we've kind of been going week by week by week. And in the first, the Sunday we kicked off this series, it was so important for us to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in calling us and challenging us to be a church that's on the move. It is so vital that we allow the Holy Spirit to move in. You see, if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to move in, what we have to rely upon is our own ingenuity. What we have to rely upon are our own gimmicks. And listen, gimmicks never win anybody to Jesus. Because we're always thinking, what's the next thing? What's the next gimmick? What's the next marketing tactic? When the reality is, when we look at the first century church, it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit showed up. The Holy Spirit empowered God's people to do the work of the ministry. They were doing awesome things for God. They were making a difference. They were turning the world upside down. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 6, the world was looking at this thing called the church, and thousands upon thousands of people were joining the church daily. That's the church. Here we are, 2019, Western civilization, and we have moved so far from God's pattern and purpose and priority for the church. And so we must understand how important it is for the Holy Spirit to move in. Last Sunday we talked about the importance for the pastor to move over. And we've talked about here in the church in America, there is this thought that the pastor's the paid professional. Now, he's the clergy. They're the ones that are to do all the work of the ministry, and the church, the congregation, are the consumers. They're the spectators. They're the ones who's putting money in the plate, and therefore they demand that the pastors perform to their liking. And that's not biblical. There's no distinction. In fact, if you study the Bible, we see that the Bible calls us all ministers. That as a Christian, as a child of God, we are a part of the priesthood of believers. In other words, all of us are priests as believers. There's no distinction. There's no distinction between clergy and congregation. But we see that the role of the pastor is to come alongside of the child of God, the Christian, and equip them for the work of the ministry, to serve one another. And so we saw that. This morning, I want us to look at how important it is for the people of God to move up. To move up. See, the Spirit has to move in, the pastor has to move over, but then God's people have to move up in ministry. Now, this word ministry is an interesting word, because we hear this word ministry and we think, well, that's one of these words that don't pertain to me. But the root word of ministry means to serve. That's what ministry means. God has called each of us to serve one another. And so every member, right, every member of God's family is a minister. And every minister is called to serve. As the priests in the Old Testament were called to serve in the tabernacle, in the temple, they were called to perform their priestly duties. So we as God's people are called to the same task as priests. And so ministry is an act of serving given in the name of Jesus. That's what ministry is. Now Let's take a little quiz here, all right? If you served in our parking lot ministry this morning, and you're out there at the road holding the sign, and you're waving to people as they come in, and they're honking as they go by, and you're just out there, and you're holding a sign in Jesus' name, is that ministry? Absolutely, that's ministry, right? Well, let's say you're one of our greeters, and you were handing out bulletins. You know, everyone that got one of these, you're just a greeter, just handing out bulletins. I call our greeters our hug dealers, all right? We don't have drug dealers, we have hug dealers, because they deal hugs, all right? And so they're handing out bulletins. If you're handing out bulletins in Jesus' name, is that ministry? Absolutely. Well, let's say you're a part of our housekeeping ministry, and you're here when nobody else is here. You're here, you know, the door, everything is, there's nobody here, and you're cleaning toilets, all right? You're cleaning toilets in Jesus' name. Is that ministry? Now, whether you serve on the parking lot, or we can go on and on, whether you're an interpreter, or whether you serve in the children's ministry, whether you serve in the deaf ministry, regardless, praise team, regardless, if you're serving in Jesus' name, is that ministry? Now, are any of those ministries more important than the other? Absolutely not. It's not. In fact, all ministries are needed. And so we need to understand that if you're doing it in Jesus' name, that is a ministry. It's a service. Now, here's our goal. Remember, here's our goal. Next slide, please. This is what we want to accomplish. Here at Barwick Road, we are different people, right? We're all different people. We come from different walks of life, different backgrounds. You know, we're all different people with different backgrounds, using different gifts at different times in different places to meet different needs, all for God's glory. That's the goal. That's what we want to accomplish as a church that's on the move. All right? So this morning, I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's six things, six faith facts that I want us to understand this morning, because this is so, when we understand being a church that's on the move, a church that's making a difference, a church where we see lives transformed, a church where we see people coming to know Jesus and getting into that personal relationship with Jesus and growing in their walk with the Lord, not just coming to know Jesus, but taking that next step of faith and walking through the waters of believers' baptisms. And not only that, but then plugging into small groups and just growing and reaching other people for Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being a church where people just come and sit and that's it. They check off their "I've been to church on Sunday" check box on their weekly spiritual things to do. No, I'm talking about really being actively engaged in the things of God. All right? So let me give you six reasons why every single Christian should use their gift that God has given them for ministry. All right, six reasons, six faith facts. Number one, every Christian has a gift and is expected to use it. Every single Christian has a gift and is expected to use it. And we've already talked about that, but let me just reiterate that when you became a child of God, the Holy Spirit moved in. He moved into your life, and when he moved in, he came with gifts. And those gifts are to be used in the body, to serve one another, to strengthen the body, to build the body. So every single Christian has at least one spiritual gift. You have at least one. You may have more, but you have at least one. Now, all of us don't have all the same gifts. Right? Not all of us are called to be preachers, pastors. Not all of us are called to be pastors. Not all of us are called to be leaders. Not all of us are called to be teachers. Not all of us are called to be helpers. Right? We're not all called to have all the same gift, but all of us collectively, we have all of the gifts. We're not lacking any gift. So we need to understand that every single Christian, every single person who is saved, born again, has at least one spiritual gift. And God expects us to use them. You say, well, where do you see that? Well, look at verse 10. Peter says, each, not some, right? But each of you, he's talking to the Christian. In fact, in this context, if you don't have to look there, read this on your own time, but if you go up a few verses, Peter talks about how we are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a special people, God's own special possession. And he's talking about us as priests, all right? It's in that context that Peter says that each of us should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards. And so God expects us to use whatever gift he's given you to serve one another. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion. Peter is saying, no, listen, if you understand who you are in Christ, when you understand who you are, what God has done for you, and God has been so gracious to us, and we are now a part of his royal generation, his royal priesthood, all right? That we are his priests, we are his servants, and if we are his servants, God has gifted you to serve one another. It's expected. It's not a suggestion. So every Christian has a spiritual gift. Now, you might be here this morning and say, well, what is the spiritual gift? This is the first time I've heard about such a thing, a spiritual gift. I mean, I've been a Christian and nobody gave me a gift. I didn't remember opening it up. Was this at some Christmas gathering you guys had? When were these gifts given? What is this gift? Let me give you a definition of what the spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is an expression of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us as believers. That is a biblical fact. Where's the Holy Spirit if you're a believer? He's in you, right? Spiritual gift is an expression of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. This is why it's so important. Let the Holy Spirit move in, right? Which empowers the believer to serve the body of Christ, the church. God has given you a gift. And he expects you to use that gift in the context of serving one another, in the context of building the church, in the context of strengthening the church. We all have a what? A gift. God expects us to use it. Faith fact number two. Well, actually, before we do there, because you may say, well, okay, what are these spiritual gifts? I do want to draw your attention to this. When you came in, you should have received this little handout called Discovering Your Spiritual Gift. These are the gifts as it's listed in the Bible. All right? So you have at least one of these gifts. Now, you might be this morning and say, well, I don't know what gift I have. All right? Well, let me encourage you. Go through this list. You might say, well, yeah, I think I have that. I think I have that. If not, you can definitely go onto our website at www.barwickroadchurch.com/spiritual-gifts. And there's a questionnaire. You can take the questionnaire, and immediately when you hit submit, immediately you'll get your results and you'll know what gift you possibly have. So you can know that. You don't have to walk aimlessly around life saying, I wonder what my gift is. Nobody's told me what my gift is. No, it's very, very simple. And the onus is on you to discover your spiritual gift. You might be smart. Okay, so go through this list. You might be here this morning. You know what your gift is. You know without a shadow of a doubt what your gift is. That's fine. Here's what I'd like you to do. Is I would like to know what your spiritual gift is. Because I'd like to come alongside of you, and you've already discovered your spiritual gift, but I want to help you develop your spiritual gift. I have to be honest. I know what my spiritual gift is. My spiritual gift is pastor and teacher. That's what my spiritual gift is. But listen, when God called me and he revealed this gift, I didn't go from pew to pulpit. I didn't go that route. No, I had people come alongside of me and invest in me and groom me and teach me and give me opportunity to grow and sharpen that gift and polish that gift. And so we need to understand that what you need, if you know what your gift is you need pastors and teachers to come alongside of you and help you develop that spiritual gift. And so what I'd like you to do between now and the end of the service is for you to indicate what your spiritual gift is. And at the end of the service, when you make your way out, you'll notice there's a box that says, Discovering Your Spiritual Gift. Just pull this out, put it right in there. That's as simple as that. We're not going to call them out. We're not going to say, Lucian has the gift of hospitality and service and helps. Let's give Lucian. I mean, we can do that if you want, but we'd probably be here for a while. We can say, hey, Lucian, we always knew you were a helper. But we need to know. We need to know what your spiritual gift is. Faith fact number two. Using your gift glorifies God. Did you guys know that? Using your gift glorifies God. Look at verse 11. Peter says, if anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so when we use the gift that God has given to us, not only are we building and strengthening the church, serving one another through love, but God is glorified. How many of you want to glorify God? We do that as we utilize and we exercise and we put to work our gift, okay? Faith fact number three. Well, if using your gift glorifies God, then by default, not using your gift displeases God, right? If using your gift glorifies God, then not using your gift, sitting on your gift, doing nothing with your gift displeases God. And I know that's a big pill to swallow because we think of God as almost this spiritual jolly grandpa in heaven that just wants to put us on his knee and bounce us and tickle us and doesn't care what we do and all that. No, but we understand that God has called you, he has gifted you, and when we don't use what God has given us, then we're not being faithful stewards. Remember, that's the whole thing Peter says. He says, each of you have received a gift that you received to serve others as faithful stewards, faithful managers. So if we're not using the gift that God has given to us, we're not faithful as managers, as stewards. Let me give you a parable. Jesus told this story, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went out on a journey. And then the one who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. In other words, here's the one servant, all right? He received 5 talents, 5 gifts, and he went out and he invested it and he doubled it, all right? He put those to work and he doubled it. The second one, likewise, also received 2, and guess what? He doubled it. Verse 18, "But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more. I've invested. I put those to work, all right? What you gave to me, what you entrusted to me as a steward, all right, they were not his to own. They were his to manage. And he went out and he invested it for his master, right? And he doubled it. And what does the master say? His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Well done, good and faithful minister. Well done, good and faithful child. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them." Again, another servant, right, who was faithful, utilized those gifts, put those gifts to work, doubled the investment, right? He took a risk. He made a bold move, right, for his master, right? And he doubled it. And what does his master say? It says, "The Lord said to him," verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there I've given what's yours." In other words, he says, "Look, I knew that I didn't want to risk it. I wanted to play it safe. And I didn't lose it. You know, I should get at least a pat on the back. I didn't lose what you gave me. I didn't invest it. I played it safe. I buried a hole. I hid it. And I knew you were going to come. I knew you were going to ask for it back. And here it is. Here's my 1 talent. I did absolutely nothing with it. I had no risk whatsoever. No bold move for you. No nothing. I just played it safe." Notice what his Lord said to him. Verse 26, and I think this is absolutely shocking. Because, again, we would think he would get a pat on the back and say, "Man, I appreciate you holding it. I appreciate you keeping it safe. You know, well done. You didn't risk it. You didn't risk it for the biscuit. You just kind of played it safe. You just buried a hole. That's fine. You know, man, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you have something to show me." But he doesn't. The master doesn't say that at all. In fact, the master says, "You wicked and lazy servant." Wow. I hope you're getting the moral of the parable here. I hope that it's sinking in. I hope it's going from your head to your heart when we understand that God has given each of us gifts. Talents, all right? And he expects us to invest them. He expects us to use them. And the thing is, if we're sitting on our gifts, if we're sitting on those talents, those things, that is not a good thing. That displeases God. That does not bring glory to him. It does not honor him. It does not please him whatsoever. No matter how you try to code it, offer excuses or whatever, you say, "Well, I'm just playing it safe for God." No, In fact, every time throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, we see men and women of God stepping out on faith, doing bold things for God, expecting the outcome, allowing God to just use them and work through them. All throughout Scripture. I don't know about you, I'm tired of just hearing Sunday school lessons. I want to experience the power of God. I want to experience the things in the Old Testament, the things in the New Testament. That's what I want to experience. Not a level of mediocrity, not a level of, you know, just going through and us, you know, gathering together as a church and we just sing a few songs and we hear, you know, a nice, comfortable, fluffy message and encouragement, and then that's the extent of our spiritual life. I know. So not using your gift really displeases God. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. Faith fact number four. When you use your gift for ministry, you're actually serving Jesus. Do you know that? It's more than just serving in the name of Jesus. I'm just serving, you know, under the umbrella of Christ. I'm serving in His name. No, you are serving Christ Himself. This is why it's so important that the people of God move up into ministry, because you're either serving Christ or you're not serving Christ. So where do you see that? Let me give you a couple of verses. Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Verse 24, here it is. "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." When you're using the gift that God has given you, you are serving Christ Himself. In fact, remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25. He says to His disciples, He says, "For I was hungry, you gave me food. He says, I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me." Then Jesus says, the righteous will answer Him and saying, "Lord, when did we feed you when you were hungry? I don't remember. I don't remember you being hungry. I don't remember me giving you my lunch. I don't remember me offering you my food. I don't remember. Please help me, Lord Jesus. Remember, when did I feed you?" The righteous go on to say, "When were you thirsty? Not only do I not remember giving you something to eat, I don't remember giving you something to drink. Or when were you a stranger? I don't remember taking anybody in. When were you sick? I don't remember visiting you in the hospital. When were you in prison? I don't remember going to the jail. I don't remember any of this, Jesus. Please help me. Help refresh my memory." Jesus, verse 40 says, "And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, you've done it unto me." This is why it's so important we understand the context of our spiritual gifts, that God expects us to use those gifts. It glorifies Him. It pleases Him. But when we use our gift, whatever gift God has given to you, to me, when we use them, we are serving Christ Himself. We're serving Christ. When you were handing out bulletins this morning, you were handing bulletins out to Jesus. When you were out in the parking lot waving to cars going by, you were waving to Jesus. When you were cleaning toilets, you were cleaning Jesus's toilet. When you were helping somebody throughout the week, you were helping Jesus. When you were teaching a Bible study, you were teaching Christ. Not that He needs to learn anything, but just so we kind of understand what the Bible teaches. And so you're ministering unto Christ. Number five, faith fact number five. This is a fact. Spiritual growth will never happen in your life unless you use your spiritual gifts. Spiritual growth will never happen in your life unless you use the gift that God has given you, unless you utilize it. You need to discover it, you need to develop it, and you need to deploy it. But you'll never grow spiritually unless you're using that gift. In fact, let me give you three ways that we grow spiritually, all right? First way that we grow spiritually is our time with God, when we spend our time with God through prayer and studying His Word, all right? That helps us grow spiritually, all right? As we continue to pray and as we continue to spend time in His Word, we should be growing deeper in our faith, deeper in our walk with the Lord. That's one way. Another, we also grow deeper spiritually when we fellowship with one another, when we come together as a church. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. All right? So we grow stronger, we grow deeper in our walk with the Lord. We grow spiritually mature when we come together and we fellowship with one another. And we also grow deeper spiritually when we serve one another. When we're using our gift, when we're ministering to one another and we're serving one another in love. We're serving one another in love. In fact, I praise the Lord for the freedoms that we have in Christ. Not just the political freedoms, but the spiritual freedoms that we have. That Christ truly has set us free. He's liberated us. He's broken every single chain. And the fact that we have this wonderful freedom, this wonderful liberty, Paul tells us in Galatians not to use our freedom as an opportunity to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Paul tells us to use this freedom that we have in Christ to serve one another in love. So we've been set free, right? We've been set free from Christ not to be bound to the law, not to be bound to tradition, not to be bound to rules and regulation. We've been set free from all of that to serve one another in Christ. In His name, for His glory. Listen, spiritual growth will never happen unless we're using our gifts. And lastly, the church is incomplete. The church is incomplete without everyone using their gifts. I believe that God is so powerful. And I believe that God can do anything, right? It's kind of a trick question. There are some things God can't do. God can't sin, right? He can't do that. So there are some things, when we look at, God can do anything. There are anything that goes against God's character, well, He can't do. And we say, God's all powerful, and He is, right? However, did you know you can limit God's power? Even though God's all-powerful, we can limit His power, we can limit His working, we can limit what God desires to do. The Bible says we can quench the Spirit. That means to put Him out, to hold Him back. We can do that. You see, when we're not using our gifts, we are limiting what God desires to do. We're not allowing God to be God. Now, we can come together as a church and say, God, we love You. We worship You. You're so awesome. You rock. You have full control over us. But yet, when it comes to utilizing our gifts, we say, whoa, wait a second. I'm a little reserved. I don't know about that. You know, I just want to kind of just be a spectator. I just want to ride on the bus. I don't want to push the bus, drive the bus, or change any tires on the bus, or sweep the bus. I don't want to do anything on the bus other than sit and enjoy the view out the window. That's all I want to do. God says, no. No. That's not the way it works. And so when we understand that the church really we're incomplete. We're lacking. Because everyone's not utilizing and using their gift. And here's what happens. And that kind of a scenario, and that's not just true here, that's true at churches all across America. It's so true. It's 20% of the people doing 80% of the ministry. Doesn't matter whether it's here at Barwick Road or at Christ Fellowship or Journey Church. Doesn't matter what church it is. It seems to always be the same statistic that it's 20% of the people of God, all right, doing 80% of the ministry. And that's not biblical. It's really not. And so here's what happens, all right? When that's the norm in the church, then abuse takes place. And what I mean by abuse is you have too few people utilizing many gifts. All right? You have too few people, and they're trying to do everything. And you have somebody who's really not gifted in that area, but we have to do it. We have to, you know, there's ministry there, and we're, you know, we want to help, we want to serve, and so we serve, and we're really not gifted in there, or we're really not being used to our real key strength, how God has called us, and we're just kind of filling in, and as a result of that, that's really abuse. It's abuse to those, to the few who are serving, who are using all their gifts and more that they don't even have to do things that God has called us to do. And so it's abusive. Not only that, it's disuse. What I mean by that is too many people not using their gifts. And then there's misuse. People using the wrong gifts. And I honestly believe that God doesn't call the equipped. In other words, you know, you're equipped, you're awesome, you're super, and then God calls you. But no, God calls you and then He equips you. For whatever His plan, whatever His purpose, whatever God's called you to do, He equips you for the task. He equips you for the task and He empowers you for the task. Everything God does for you so that He gets the glory. Okay, understand that, right? Now what happens, and I believe this, is it's not the right person in the wrong ministry. All right, it's not the right person, and they're just in the wrong ministry, and or the wrong person in the. Am I saying this right? It's not the wrong person in the right ministry. It's the right person in the wrong ministry. They're not being utilized the way God has called them to do. He's not gifted them in that area. And so this is why it's so important that the pastor has to move over. God's people have to move in. We have to be utilizing and using our spiritual gifts. And I know you say, well, that sounds great in theory. No, we need to understand it biblically. If we're going to be a church that honors God, if we're going to be a church that wants God to bless us, we have to respond in obedience. We have to say, God, use me. I'm just a tool. How many of you have toolboxes at home? Yeah, you have tools, right? I've got plenty of tools, you know, hammers and screwdrivers and different types of screwdrivers and jeweler screwdrivers and a soldering gun and pliers and electrical pliers and vice grips and, you know, you name it, I probably have a tool, a router, a handsaw, an arm saw, a band saw, a table saw. I've got so many saws I can't see anymore. All right, but I have all these tools, and depending on the job, I use the right tool. Likewise, you are a tool that God desires to use. Now, not all of us are hammers. Not all of us are screwdrivers. Not all of us are saws. Not all of us are pliers, right? But you are a tool in God's toolbox, and He wants to use you in His hands to accomplish the task at hand. Does that make sense? And so the church is incomplete if we're not using our gifts. Now here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to bring this message to a close. If you know what your gift is, I want you to indicate that. I want you to let us as a church know. So we can begin looking at where do we have people who are gifted, where we can utilize them in ministry and service to help the church grow, right? So we need to know that. And I know some people think that I have a phone in my office, a red hotline to heaven, and God tells me what your spiritual gift is. I don't. All right? And I've heard this so many times, and it's sad. And I want to say it now just to clear up anything, because I've had people, you know, where we've had an opportunity to do minister or to do ministry. Something's come up, and I've had someone come and say, "Well, why didn't you ask me?" I'm thinking, "Well, I didn't know you were gifted in that area." And so to kind of clear the confusion so that I know where you're gifted, so when I need to use a hammer, I'll find hammers. When I need to use a screwdriver, I'll find screwdrivers. When I need to use the tool, I'll go into God's toolbox and I'll say, "Oh, here's a hammer, here's a screwdriver. Let me call them up and see if they can help." You see how that works? Okay, I don't know what tool you are. You have to let me know. It's easy. The form I sent you, just fill it out. Fill it out. Put it in the box. If you're here this morning, so I don't know what my gift is. Have no idea. Go online. Takes probably 5 minutes. It's instant. You don't have to wait 3 to 6 weeks to get your results back. It's not like a DNA test where we're going to take a swab of your saliva and send it off to a lab somewhere. No, it's about 100 questions, all right? Very simple questions, all right? Just say, "Yes, that's me. No, that's not me." That's about it, all right? At the end of it, it'll tell you exactly where you're gifted. It's that simple. Let me encourage you to do that. Let me say this. Whether you know what your gift is, let us know. Whether you need to discover your spiritual gift, that's fine. But whatever you do, don't sit on your gift. Don't dig a hole and bury it. Every head bowed and every eye closed.